Strange
Music.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Strange Music Podcast. It's been a while, but we're going to have so much going on this summer. Expect a lot more of these as we'll be talking to artists that are have some albums dropping like Stevie Stone, Chris Calico, Mayday, and that one guy you might have heard about, Tech N9ne. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But today we have a very special guest, and his name is Rekkd9ne, who just dropped his first solo album through Strange Music, and that would be called The War Within, and that's available right now through iTunes and at Best Buy for only $9.99. So get that shit if you haven't already. And also, as a member of Mayday, he'll be on another project, and that would be Mayday's Believers, which is also available for pre-order at strangemusicinc.net and drops on July 16th. Mayday is also on tour with the Summer of Strange tour with Stevie Stone and Chris Calico, and you can get your tickets and VIP packages at strangevip.com. Callers, call 347-994-3066 and press 1 so we can screen your call and get you on the line to talk to Rek. And finally, without further ado, we have Rekkd9ne on the line. Rek, how you doing?
Chilling, man. I was enjoying the British lady that counts you down when the show's about to start. It's kind of dope.
Yeah, no, it's really dope. It gives you this, I think, a British accent always makes you feel more official. And you're from Britain, correct?
Yeah, so it made me feel, kind of at home,
Your show Dude, that's awesome. 10,
9, I'm, 8, 7. I'm like, all right.
Well, I'm really happy for that. And dude, my first question is, you heard this intro that I just gave. It's one of the longest ones that we've ever had for this podcast. It's because you're on everything, man. Is there anything that you are not doing right now? What are you not doing?
Oh, man. I don't know. The first 6 months of this year really felt like we locked ourselves in the dungeon and just started to prep for, like, what would be, like, a slam-packed rest of the year. And it was incredibly stressful. But it's fun now because it feels like all these things, these seeds that we planted in the beginning of the year are starting to bloom, So, I don't know. What I'm not doing is probably sleeping enough.
Okay. Well, I'm sure someday maybe you'll have that chance. But until then,
I'm getting a little more now that we're out on the road, because there's moments when you got really nothing to do but hit the bunk and sleep, so that's cool. I'm kind of trying to catch up a little bit.
It's ironic, but from talking to a lot of artists, it seems that there is actually more downtime when they're on tour than when off.
Yeah, because, there's things like between soundcheck and meet and greet and the actual show, there's like little pockets of time, and then depending on what city you're in, there'll be moments when it's like you can't really leave the show or leave the site or like go anywhere because you have enough time to chill, but you don't really have enough time to like make it a trip,
All right. Well, good deal, man. Glad you're, getting that downtime you need. Now, I want to get to this album here. That's what we're here for, The War Within. Now, I know you've got an album that was released a while back, Soiree for Skeptics, but would you consider this your debut album? Because I've heard you allude to that more or less.
To me, it feels like it. Soiree is definitely the reason why I say that is because Soiree was put together with a collection of records that I had already that I was just kind of like sitting on from like working with Mayday in the beginning, and I had done some records with Plex before I joined Mayday, and these are just records that I was messing around with when I was getting out of my last deal, and then I kind of strung them together with a couple of new joints and put it together and crafted an album out of it. But I didn't, sit down, from the start to finish thinking it was going to be an album. Some of those tracks were just brought together, whereas War Within, we talked about it. It was conceptualized. It was from start to finish just, this is all going to be for the War Within, excluding maybe one or two tracks. So it just felt to me more like the conceptual, putting together the album. And then on top of that, now actually having a push with Strange and it being promoted to the street teams and being in the stores are it makes it feel like my first official album to me.
Well, now the album is out, dude. Your face is at Best Buys everywhere. It's on street corners all over the nation. How does that feel?
It's cool, except for when a poster falls on the ground and then somebody steps on it, that kind of feels a little weird. It feels like when a voodoo doll gets poked with it by a needle or whatever. I'm like, oh shit, you just stepped on my nose, dude. Like, what the fuck?
But, dude, yeah.
It's dope. In marketing, they always say you got to be on your own album cover. You got to be on your own album cover. And it helps because when they put the promo everywhere, then, your picture gets spread around and people start to realize who you are. But that wasn't really the intention. It was really just that was the artwork and how we, me and Decal came out with the concept for it. And, yeah, I guess, you know, it's cool. It's a dope feeling.
Oh, well, yeah, but it is The War Within, you know, The War Within recognized, and the album artwork is very dope, dude. But, I mean, to have a project just pushed, you know, like this, and to have it in stores and it's tangible, because I don't know what you know, Soiree had going for it in that department, but I imagine that it was on a much smaller scale. I mean, what's it like to have this team behind you, to have that push, you know, and you're
man,
getting reviews and DX and everything?
Nah, super dope, man. It's really, it's definitely like the best moments of my life, like to date in terms of my career, because it's just like I've worked so long in the game, and anyone who knows my trajectory and my like my backstory knows that I've been making music forever. So when it's like there's weird moments when I'm like in this new artist category or here's his debut album, they're like, that's weird. I've been rocking with this dude for like 8 years or whatever. So it's like what's good about how long I've been in the game is it makes you appreciate what's going on now. So like when I'm meeting street teamers at the shows, like I'm like, damn, I don't really know, I can't even really put into words how appreciative I am of what you're doing for my project, you know, like. And then everybody always comes back with the same response, which is like, oh, it's just my job, this is what I'm doing, I rock with Strange all day, I'm on the street team and shit. And I'm like, yeah, no, for sure, I'm totally all about that, but I just like, I gotta put into words and try and like express to you how it makes me feel, because I've been working so long to get to this point, and to have like the support that I'm getting through Strange for a solo project is beautiful, man. It really like moves me to near tears. Like, it's just like, I've worked so hard for it. So the dope thing about having it happen after so many years is that you really appreciate every single like nuance of how, you know, professional the promotions on this project is.
Well, I mean, no doubt, man, no doubt. And, man, you know, Victor, don't fuck with me right now, dude. Okay, sorry about that.
What's the kid back there?
I don't. He's fucking with me. Anyways, all right, we got Best Buy albums to sell. Just wanted to throw that out there. And
I've been trying to get to a Best Buy for like the last few days, and it's just like we're never close enough to one. Like, I think today the one, it's like a 10-minute drive. It's like definitely not walking distance. So I'm trying to get to a Best Buy, because that's just like been on my list ever since I was in like high school. I would go to Best Buy and peep the albums, and it's just like, I don't know, it's just like a ritual. So like to be able to go and buy my own album, like I did it with Take Me to Your Leader, and I want to do it with mine too. So I'm just like itching to get to a Best Buy and buy one. But we haven't crossed that threshold yet. So hopefully today or tomorrow I'll be able to knock that out.
Oh, dude, that's got to feel, I mean, and, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, it's like you've been used to this. You have been making music. Shit, you were on MTV, but it's still got to be surreal to walk into a national chain and see your album and be able to buy it.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. That's like, it's been on my checklist of things to knock off, you know? So I'm jumping at the chance to make that happen now that I can.
Awesome, awesome. Well, and in terms of the response, man, what has the response been from the fans and your fellow artists with this album?
It's been really good, man. It was right before the album came out, I you know, I had a few conversations with like you know, with Dave Weiner and with Trav and some people that I was playing the album to, and then, you know, there was like the initial, like there was moments when I was like kind of feeling nervous about like, damn, did I put too many different styles of music, because it is very diverse like collection of music. And there's a lot of different genres and styles involved in the album. And I was like in a position a couple of times where I started to feel like, man, I don't, did I go the right direction, or was I too sparse or too, you know, all over the place. But to me, it just felt natural to me. That's just, I like a lot of different styles of music, and I feel like my tool belt is like very diverse. So I just felt natural to do that. And so far the response has been really good, which has been very settling, because everyone seems to really enjoy the album. So now I'm in that place I was where when we did Take Me to Your Leader, where I'm like, oh, man, I haven't really read too many negative things about the album. Like, I guess not enough people have heard it yet, because, you know, there's got to be some people out there that don't like the album. So now I got to go on that hunt, because so far it's been good. It's been a really good response.
Dude, that's crazy. Ubiquitous will say the same thing anytime he gets too much positivity. He's like, what's going on here? I have to tell you, though, you know, we did a social post where we, you know, go on Twitter and look at comments and then collect them all. And honestly, I can't remember the last time. It's probably Ritz's album, but this is definitely one of the longest lists of tweets of praise that I've ever put together. It seems that the fans like it a lot. And the cool thing is that everyone seems to have a different favorite from the album.
Yeah.
So,
I love that. I think that's dope, man. I really like when people say that.
Well, let's talk about a few songs on the album. First of all, do you have any favorites?
A couple people on Twitter have been asking me that, and I since it's like been working on the album for 6-7 months, I've gone through phases where I did have favorites at the time. Like when we first did We Got Soul, to me, We Got Soul was one of my favorites, just because the beat was so like the perfect combination of things that I love in hip hop music that I just was able to like go very autobiographical on it. And that was one of my favorites at the time, We Got Soul. But then I had another phase where Can't Be Alone became one of my favorites just because I loved the beat. I liked the way the concept came out. And there was that switch up at the end of the track, which I really enjoyed doing. So that was another highlight for me. And then right when I got the album back, like mixed and mastered, and I was bumping it, Paper Trails was one for me that would stand out and I would want to like ride out with for a little bit too. So it was a couple of the loose highlights for me, I guess.
Well, it's ironic you talk about those last two songs, Paper Trails, and especially Can't Be Alone, which touch on, you know, social networks and how that has changed our kind of psychology and behavior in society. As an artist, you know, you want to attain a certain notoriety because that sheds light on your art, which sheds light on your celebrity, which sheds light on your art, and so on. But, you know, how do you feel about attention that you get when you're just out and about, and where is the line drawn for you?
It's not like when we're out and about and it's on tour, it's never really too strange because it's a personal connection and you're in the room with somebody and you're able to like reach out, shake that person's hand and they tell you how they feel about the music and that seems very natural. But then there's like the online moments, which can be weird sometimes where it's like you kind of have like online friendships with some of these people. Like there are people I know on Twitter that I've never even met that I know like, I know parts of their life story because we talk on Twitter or whatever. And then those are where it's like, it feels strange because of where we're at with social networking that we're able to like build these relationships with people that we've never even seen face to face. And that's always a trip. And then they'll come out to a show and I'll meet that person at a show. And I was like, damn, I've been talking to you for like a year and a half, 2 years now or whatever. And this is the first time we ever like seen each other in person or whatever. Like it's a weird phenomenon, like having grown up in the dawn of the internet age.
Yeah, it's like there are two separate communities now. I mean, there are, you know, our real one and our online one.
Somebody was asking me about Paper Trails or one of the tracks about social networking, and I was thinking yesterday how ironic it would be if we were to do a video that went viral for one of those. Like just the pure irony of like social networking blowing up one of those songs would be hilarious to me.
Oh yeah, to critique it and then be successful. Yeah. No, totally got that.
I'm doing it, man. I'm going viral on one of those.
Please do. What's the weirdest experience you've had involving social media? I mean, like from like trolls or pictures showing up from shit that you didn't think anyone was around to take. I mean, what's some of your experiences?
I definitely in the last year, like, experienced people digging up old music of mine that I was like, damn, I don't even remember putting that anywhere near the internet. And people finding it and putting it up on YouTube of, like, the first project I ever recorded when I was in high school. And, like, I'm like, damn, how the hell did they even find that? I've experienced some of that. And then I've also, like my mom makes friends with everybody on Facebook. She's, like, the most friendly woman on planet Earth. So there's been moments when, like, people have come up to me at a show and been like, hey, your mom said give you a hug at the meet and greet. And I was like, really? Oh, okay, cool. Like, dope. You know, like, all right, yeah. Like, my mom's stupid friendly on Facebook. So that's always been kind of weird, too, because it's like that, there's that weird, like, blend of, like, you're out working, and then somebody's like, hey, man, your mom said what's up? And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. It's just a weird blend of family, career, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Now, going back to this album, it's just been added to a long catalog of strange music releases that's, you know, full of great albums. But what do you think The War Within has brought to this catalog that no other release has in terms of music,
I don't know. Yeah, that was tough because I have every album that Strange dropped this year, and they just kept getting better and better, and every album was banging. So it was like definitely it's been a daunting feeling like to be able to like come up to releasing this album, because Rich's album was fantastic, Seth's album was dope as hell too, Cut's album, Lynch's album was banging. So it's like to put an album out after that was definitely like a daunting feeling. But I guess if anything, I just brought another category of diversity to the roster and to the label, and you know, brought a little bit of different vibes. Seeing if I do a little bit more singing, and there's just a couple of different styles of records that are on The War Within that maybe weren't touched upon on other projects. So I guess just a little more diversity, as if we're not a diverse enough label already.
Yeah. But that's been sprouting a lot this year. I think it's been a really cool year. I mean, we've seen all sorts of new styles that Strange has not seen before, and it's really expanding the reach of the label, which is very cool. Now, I want to ask you, you know, you forged your career, you know, as far as I know, and, you know, a lot of people would know, you forged your career as a battle rapper. You know, that's how you kind of first got your name out there. But a lot of our fans probably met you through Mayday and maybe didn't have any idea of that. How do you compare the feeling of being known as a battle rapper versus that of an artist, which you're probably predominantly known as now?
Let's see, how do I put that? Well, being a battle MC is like, I'm not a real confrontational person. I'm an extremely peaceful person, very passive person. So, like, battling, like, when I was doing it, like, 24 hours a day, that was the way for me to express that emotion of, like, getting in and, you know, and getting in somebody's face, you know, whereas I don't do that in my normal life. I'm a very logical person, and I'm not going fisticuffs with anybody on the regular. So, like, that, there's a certain feeling there where you step into a battle and you feel like you're in a coliseum, you know, and you're about to, like, do some gladiator shit, which was dope. But it can't really compare to the feeling of meeting someone that has a song of yours that song like changed their life or that brings them to tears, and they have a certain vibe they got off a record. Like those feelings to me last way longer than the reactions to a battle. Just the reactions to a battle are a little more short lived, and you know, it's kind of like being a sports fan or whatever, where you watch your team win the championship or you hate on a team because they beat your team, and then there's all that. But once that washes away, I feel like the impressions that a record leaves as an artist last longer.
Yeah. It's not like Michael Jordan's best game ever got someone through, you know, suicidal thoughts or anything like that. Definitely.
Like, it still inspires. Yeah, like, you can watch Michael Jordan's, like, you know, one of his, like, highlight games and be inspired and be like, yo, I'm going to go out right now, I'm going to start practicing, and I'm going to kill it and all that. But yeah, there's, I don't know if you could look back during, like, a time when you're, like, broke as hell and, you know, like, the power company's about to shut your lights off and be like, damn, but Michael Jordan killed it in that game. You know, like, it's just like, it's like a different emotion. It's like not, you know, it still inspires too, and it has its positives. But I got into battling just to become known as an artist. I always wanted to be an artist. Battling was just like a way, it was like a means to an end, because at the time in Miami, you couldn't go to any of these jams and get attention through your music. You had to jump in the ring. So that was why I was like, all right, I'm going to do it, because I want to get into the music business. So it was always kind of a means to an end for me, but I did love it while I was doing it. But, I just couldn't, like, I was always aiming to get into being a full-time artist rather than, you know, a battle MC.
Gotcha, you had a bigger goal in mind. Well, you know, and speaking of that, what do you want this album to do for your career, and what kind of doors would you like for it to open?
After doing it so long and climbing, like, trying to climb the ranks, it's really just what I'm obsessed with at this point is just, like, to gain the respect from my peers and from my fans to be able to do release records and do what I want with the music. You know, it's like money and fame is irrelevant. Those things both come and go. They're all nice and well, and hey, nobody's going to hate on getting some money or getting a little fame, and that's all good. But I just like the respect that you get once you've pulled some numbers, that they allow you to, you know, I mean, Strange already gives us enough creative freedom to like sink a ship. But, you know, it's nice once the industry respects you in a certain way because you've made an impact, that they allow you to go and do things that are a little off the wall or left to center because they trust you, because you've made an impact in the marketplace. So I'm trying to get to that point. I know it's going to be a slow grind for me, and the numbers on my album aren't going to be, you know, through the roof right away. But that's what I love about Strange, and I love about our conversations with Trav about Mayday and myself, is that Strange understands what it takes to break an artist where a lot of other organizations don't. So that's why I'm chasing the respect to be able to go out and do what I want and go left to center when I feel like I need to.
Okay, cool. Now I'm going to have you smell your own shit for a second, and it smells good. But for anyone that hasn't heard it and is still wondering whether they should give this album a shot and go out and cop it, what would you say to them?
I haven't gotten any hate on it yet. So I would just say that it's what I've heard from people online that I really like is that there's a record on there for everybody, which I think is dope. Like, if you're a skeptical person, there's at least 1 to 3 records on there for you for sure that you'll feel like to a maximum degree. But I think it's a super well-rounded album, and I'm not throwing it in anybody's face, but I'm just here to say, hey, give it a shot, you know, listen to it. There's definitely some records on there for you.
All right, bet. All right, we're going to take some callers here. For everyone out there who's listening online, you can call 347-994-3066. Make sure you press 1 so we can screen your call. And for all the callers out there, try to keep your questions to 1 or 2. We have a lot of callers here, and we want to make sure we get through them all. Our first caller here is Burwa. Burwa, what up, man? You're on the line with Recognize.
What's up, Rec?
What's up, my brother? How you living?
I'm good. What about you? How's the tour coming along?
Tour's going good, man. It's it's a new kind of tour for Strange, so it's in the grassroots moment right now. But we're having some great crowds out here, man. We're in Salt Lake City tonight, and we got a good spot that we're about to blow the roof off of.
That's fantastic. I just wanted to praise you. Like, this is the album of the year for me so far, at least.
Hell yeah, appreciate that.
It's a wonderful album. Haven't even skipped one bit. And I just wanted to ask you something that I think a lot of people is asking about. Why isn't Plex on the tour?
Plex got some stuff going on at home, some family stuff. He can't really do the tour circuit right now. So he's kind of, it came to the point where he was like, look, I can't run the circuit with you guys at the moment. So, it's either we got to just craft a Mayday show with his pieces embedded into it or not tour at all, and that's really not an option for us. So he's at home taking care of some things, and then once he gets that wrapped up, we'll be able to bring him back out on the road. But for now, he's still involved in the music and all the conceptualizing, conceptualizing of the album, but he's just not on the tour circuit right now.
Okay, cool. I just want to tell Jeff to shut up when you're talking to him.
Okay, yeah, Burwa, dude. You're high right now, aren't you?
Nah, I'm just fucking with you.
Okay, all right. Shout outs to Burwa, man. Definitely one of the toughest supporters of Strange Music in the entire world. Shout out to Burwa. Let's get to Rachel from Minnesota. You're on the line with Rick.
Oh, shit. Hello.
What's up, Rachel from Minnesota?
How's it going?
Not too bad. How about yourself? I feel like I know what your question is going to be about.
Oh, actually, I don't really got any questions. But I just want to say,
okay.
I am so in love with this album. It's so hard, like, in today's industry to find an album and an artist that you can just listen to every single song and be satisfied. And that's exactly what you are. And it's
that
amazing.
Is dope. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really got any questions. Just wanted to say what's up. And I'll probably be going to South Dakota since the Minnesota thing didn't work out.
See, that's what I thought your question was going to be about, because mad people have been hitting me up because, yeah, the St. Paul show got canceled because of a venue problem or something like that. And Mayday just went to St. Paul and had a great show, so we're kind of hyped to go back. So, but we'll work on it. We'll make it through to Minnesota before the end of the year, though.
Well, somebody was telling me from the promoter side that it's being rescheduled, but I just am ready to go, so South Dakota is the option for me.
Nice. We'll see you in South Dakota then.
All right, sounds good. Enjoy the good vibes. Keep on rocking
for sure.
In the free world.
100%.
Bye.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Rachel. Let's get to Alex from Vancouver. Alex, you're on the line with Rec.
Hey, Rec, I just got one question, man. If you had the power to get just anyone next to you and collab with them, who would it be?
Oh, man, that is a good one. I'd have to say right now, man. I can actually right now, I'd say Nile Rodgers, dude, because I just watched that Nile Rodgers documentary Burn put me onto right now, and that dude,
he's a
beast, man. It's so nasty. And then right around the time we had watched it, we were talking about, you know, the whole documentary and all their, you know, all Sheik's past music and all the production they did, and then the Daft Punk Get Lucky record came out, and we found out that was him playing guitar on there. So right now, I have to say him right now for the current point in time, because I was super amazed by that documentary that I watched on him. If anybody hasn't seen it, Nile Rodgers documentary, it's fire. It's on YouTube, too.
Yeah, that sounds sick. One more question. When are you getting your ass up to Canada?
Dude, we're trying. We were actually trying to run up there with Heck on this run, but it was too last minute when we tried to make a play for it. So I'm hoping if it's not by, it's probably not going to be by the end of this year, but if the next year, one way or another, we're Mayday's making it up there, bro. We went to Vancouver once, and Mayday did like a listening party for their first album before I was even in the group, and we had a blast up there, man. So I'd like to say it's going to be next year for sure.
Yeah, I got my VIP meet and greet for Victoria in August, so wish you were there, but I'll be patiently waiting to see you, man. Thanks for the question.
Appreciate that, bro.
All right, see ya.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Let's get to Ben from Boston. You're on the line with Recognize.
Yo, Rec, what was it like to work with the legendary Bun B?
It was dope, man. Super dope. Dude is super chill. I hosted like an MC battle in Miami he hosted it, and me, Royce, and M1 from Dead Prez judged it. That was the first time I ever met Bun, and he's super cool. He's been down with my manager for a while, so we heard the track when we went to work with Willpower in Atlanta, and the track just like screamed Bun B to us. So when we sent it to him, he came right back saying he was all about it, and he killed it, man, like a true professional veteran. He killed it.
That's sick. Thanks for that answer.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right. Thank you, Ben. And let's get to one more before we move on for a minute. Jordan from Washington, you're on the line.
Hey, what's up, Recognize?
What's up, Jordan? How you?
I'm pretty good. I just want to let you know your lyrics are pretty dope. You know, keep it up. Strange Music made a really good choice putting you on with Mayday and giving you some solo albums.
Appreciate that, brother. Good looking out. Yeah, I ain't going nowhere, so I appreciate the love, bro.
Yeah, much love, man.
Good looking out.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jordan. All right, for everyone out there still listening here or who just tuned in, we are on the line with Recognize, whose album The War Within is available on iTunes and Best Buy for only $9.99. So make sure you get that. Believers also drops from Mayday on July 20th, and we are about to talk about that as soon as Vic. Dude, stop harassing me. All right. And we're about to...
Yo, you're throwing him off, man. He's just saying the wrong release date for Believers, man. It's July 16th.
July 16th.
See, that's Vic. That's Vic messing with you.
Yeah, man. I shouldn't be so easily razzled, but he's really getting up in my grill and shit. Anyway. Oh, yeah, we're doing a podcast. This is official. I'm getting paid for this. So let's get serious. We're talking about Believers. We're talking about Believers here. Mayday's album, man. You're like working on The War Within and a Mayday album at the same time, as I understand it. Was there ever a point where someone had to talk you off the ledge?
Not off the ledge. It wasn't that serious, but there was moments when I was definitely like feeling extremely overwhelmed, because we did Smash and Grab in December, the Mayday mixtape, and then I did Rooftops in January for myself, and then at the same during that time we were already working on War Within, and we were loosely working on Believers as well. We had some tracks for Believers, so there was a moment there where there was like four projects on the table at the same time. We had four giant like dry erase boards filled with scribble in the studio, and there was moments where once we got through the mixtapes, I was like, okay, I'm feeling a little bit better. But between the two albums, and then we worked with some new producers on the Mayday album, so there was new relationships being built as well, and some new techniques in terms of like going to record other places. So there was a few moments where it definitely felt extremely overwhelming, and I was like, let me never do two albums like this at the same time ever again. But luckily the outcome for both I feel happy with in the end. So the stress has been alleviated a lot, but no, for sure. There wasn't any like, you know, I'm jumping off the ledge moments, but there definitely was like, I'm feeling the stress in an extreme rate.
Definitely. Well, and, you know, talking about this album, Believers, you guys, the sophomore album, you know? What kind of pressure was on the camp to follow up what is called by many to be a very classic album with Take Me to Your Leader?
There was definitely pressure there, but I think we did a good job. Like, our whole crew did a really good job up front of going in and saying, look, let's not pay attention to what we just did, or not play the game of, like, okay, but how do we, like, beat Take Me to Your Leader? How do we, like, overcome it or, you know, top it? So we just went in and crafted the album like we never crafted an album before and didn't pay attention to. I think sometimes people get tripped up, and that's why the whole sophomore jinx thing happens or whatever, because they focus so much on what they just did and keep that album in mind so much that it ends up being like a carbon copy, or ends up coming out sounding like Hangover 2 or whatever, where it's just like, oh, they tried to make the same thing over again and just threw it in Thailand or whatever. Like, so I feel like we didn't do that on this, on Believers at all. We went in and said, all right, let's do it. Let's make another solid album and you know, go bigger with some of our sounds. And I feel like that's what we were able to accomplish.
Awesome, man. Now, what can fans look forward to with this album? I mean, what do you guys do that's new? And what did you guys keep the same to kind of retain that quality that you guys have built up over the years and that identity?
Well, we did Gianni did a lot more production on this album, which I was really, like, I was really impressed with him. He really, like, stepped up and came through with a lot of new music and brought in some new styles that embedded into what we already have as Mayday really well. So he stepped up and played a major part in the production of this album, which was dope. And me and Byrne were also working with him as well. So the three of us worked on some production together that I was really happy with how it came out. I feel like, well, the track we did with Tech, just in terms of, like, what do we bring new to the table, like, the track we did with Tech to me is epic, man. We've already done songs together on our projects and on his projects, and I just feel like when we came to do this track, Last Man Standing, that it was basically, like, shattering everything we've already done. It's just a massive joint.
Keep going.
No, go ahead. I was done. Scenarios just walking by me on the bus, threw me off.
Oh, I got you. How did you guys consciously look to progress, so to speak, with this album, with the music and the themes that you bring to the table?
That's a good question. I feel like we just wanted to make it broader. We wanted to make it bigger and more accessible in terms of some of our hooks, and we wanted to really, like, zone in on a certain feeling for the album in terms of, like, the production. So we had a really good foundation of music on our own, and then we went to work with Infamous, who I had just worked with on Modern Man for my album, and we went to work with him and some of the musicians from a group in Miami called Artificial that are super dope as well. And we went in and just started to throw in some more ideas, and we wanted to make sure that we broadened the idea of Mayday to be bigger than just six people in the group and who plays what. We wanted it to be more about the energy and more about the sound, so that's why we were really obsessed with going to work with more musicians this time and open it up and make the sound bigger and broader than just what they know of us six.
Well, that's really, I mean, that's interesting because, you know, I mean, we, you know, Plex and Gianni, I mean, I'd say Plex especially, they've been kind of architects of this sound. I mean, was it a group decision to expand it like that? And
yeah.
did it make Plex
definitely
look at anyone sideways or anything? Like, you know?
Nah, I think Plex has gotten to a place where he's so comfortable in his production and what he's created in Mayday with Byrne, that he felt like it was a good time for us to reach out and bring in some, you know, some musicians and bring in some new writers. And it just felt like a natural progression in the group where he felt like, oh, this just feels like right to bring in some new blood and you know, and get some new sounds going in the Mayday machine. But like you said, he's so, like, integral in, like, creating the sound, like, with Byrne, of what Mayday is and what Mayday has been from the beginning and progressed into, that I don't think he had any problems bringing in any writers and musicians, because we're all still following the same blueprint, and it's not like we just went, okay, we're going to go acid jazz on them. Like, you know, we're still following the same code. We're just bringing in, you know, new blood, basically.
Yeah, I get it. A different set of colors for the palette or whatever, you know.
Definitely.
So, I mean, when you guys are working with new people, did that inspire new ideas from the group as well? I mean, was there a feed going on back and forth?
Yeah, definitely. Now you always there's always when you bring someone else in that you know throws something down that you might not have you might not have thought of, like it turns the vehicle a little bit where you're like, oh, we could go down this road or we could go down that road, and it's definitely it's fun because there's moments when you work by yourself and you incubate too much that you get locked into a certain train of thought that can be monotonous or start to get repetitive or boring, and we definitely don't want that. So I feel like that's what the beauty of bringing in new collaborators is that it keeps you from going down the same path all the time and, you know, brings you up to new challenges, which is always good.
Awesome, awesome. Now, can you give us a preview of, like, some of your favorite songs from this album, you know, kind of what the vibe of them is and what they're about?
We did a track with, the track with Tech is probably one of my favorites, called Last One Standing. It's just it's big. Big hook, the verses, it's me and Burn going back and forth. Tech has a verse at the end, closes, like literally shuts the whole record down at the end. And then we have a record with Infamous called High Ride that I really like too, that is very, it's just vibey. It's kind of like, to me, it feels like similar vein to Roaches in terms of like the vibe of the record, not concept wise, but I love that one as well. And then the record we did with Stevie, man, the record we did with Stevie is like out of here to me. It's another one that's very like, it feels like, I told somebody the other day, it feels like the best of what we had on Take Me to Your Leader, and then the best vibes of what we had on Thrift Store combined on certain joints, where it feels like it's the best of both worlds. It has like the Mayday grit to it, and it also has some of that like smooth, like, you know, take you out of your zone stuff that we had on Thrift Store. So yeah, the joint we did with Stevie is called Forever New, and that's also one of my favorites.
That dude, I know I was able to you know, I heard that you guys have a song on there about Jack Daniels.
We do,
how
man.
Do you...
We so do.
Okay, so I, you know, and I gotta ask, because I've seen the tape, Wreck. We've all seen it. Where you guys watched your freestyle on the on Sway, and
yeah.
Every time you said my name is recognized or referred to yourself, you guys had to take a shot at Jack Daniels. And
right.
I mean, it was equally parts impressive and disturbing, because like if I took that many shots, I would probably be dead. I think a lot of people would. You know, I gotta ask you, man. How do you? No, for real, man. You took like 15 to 20, I don't know, man. It was insane. And
it
all your bandmates.
It was definitely the most shots I've ever taken in one sitting, and the worst part of that experience was not on tape. So, like,
oh.
The aftermath, I didn't put none of the aftermath on there. Like, I didn't just walk out there and, like, jump into a semi-truck or whatever and drive down, like, an obstacle course or anything. Like, that was pretty much, like, lights out for the night.
Okay, so,
yeah.
Things were said,
like
projectile vomit, and... No, I got you. Okay, so that's good. So you are human. That's awesome.
For sure. There's definitely a Linda Blair moment in there somewhere.
Some stuff. Let me ask you, man, how do you view your relationship with Jack Daniels? Is it a problem, or is it something that you embrace?
The only reason why, like, I feel comfortable in doing songs about Jack or talking about it like we do is because we're pretty... I mean, like, we're not the most, like, irresponsible, like, you know, drunk, nobody's got DUIs in our group. Like, we're not those dudes, you know what I mean? Like, we do it in moderation, and we do it with love, and I love to drink. I'm you know, I'm European in my roots, so, like, that's what we do. We, like, go to pubs, we drink. Like, when you go to England, that's what happens. There's just, it's a country full of drinkers. So, but I think also because of that, like, that allows you to, when you grow up in that culture, that allows you to not feel so apeshit about, like, oh, when I get to 21, even though I grew up in the States, obviously, but my family was very lax about alcohol and drug use and being responsible with stuff like that and not protecting us or shielding us from it. So when we got to 21, we weren't, like, running out and, you know, getting hammered and jumping in a car and doing dumb shit. We, you know, just enjoy the drink and enjoy the party and keep it, you know. Try to keep out of trouble, basically. So I think my relationship with Jack is definitely not a problem, but that is probably something that somebody has a problem with, say. So I don't know if there's even a right answer for the question.
Okay, yeah. And, I mean, I think it was a good answer, and it got you out of what might have been an intervention moment, but we're going to move on, dude. We're going to move on. Now, Now, what can you, you know, I know you got to shoot a lot of videos. Can we expect a lot of videos for the Believers album?
Yeah, we just dropped Believers a little while ago. We have two more on the way. And then once we get off this tour, we're going to go back and shoot a couple more. I hope for Believers, and I'd like to get another one or two in for War Within as well. And so, yeah, no, most definitely there's at least two more on the way, and then we're going to shoot a few when we get off this tour.
Okay, cool, man. And what kind of expectations, last question, what kind of expectations do you guys have for the album and its, you know, its reception?
I would love to just get what the, you know, the reactions that we got, particularly your leader, times 10, you know, and it's about, like, it's about satisfying everyone who got on board with us already and trying to give them what they've come to believe us to be able to accomplish on every album. And then on top of that, you know, reaching out and broadening and, you know, expanding the fan base, basically. So I'd like Believers to satisfy everyone who's already rocking with us, and then on top of that, make, you know, a gang load of new fans as well.
All right, awesome. We're going to take some more callers. Callers, people, if you're listening out there, call 347-994-3066. Press 1 to talk to recognize. Our first caller is Ryan from New Hampshire, I think. You're on the line with Rec.
Hey, Rec, what's up? Big fan.
What up, Ryan?
I first started following you guys after the All Six and Sevens tour. I caught you guys came to New Hampshire, actually. And that was the first I'd seen a Mayday. I've been impressed ever since. But the question I have for you is, with having just done The War Within, having done like a lot of personal tracks, I was wondering, would that take away at all from your work on Believers? I know a lot of fans, they get into your upbeat, hype tracks, as well as your, you know, really in-depth soul-searching ones. And what do we have to look forward to on Believers?
Well, I definitely don't think it didn't take away at all. What I was real mindful to do is to bring, I wanted to bring Burn in on working on this solo album with me, so that the transition to working on Believers wouldn't feel so alien, and it would feel a little bit more cohesive. And he was there to kind of like be the checks and balances for me on concepts and stuff like that, so that I wasn't double stepping on anything on both albums, or, you know, lacking in a certain area for either album. So Burn helped me a lot in terms of like being able to balance between the two albums. So I don't feel like it took away at all from Believers, and I was so engulfed in the album while we were making it that I wasn't even able to step back and look at it. And then there was that moment where when we're about to like turn in Believers, I'm like, damn, I got to make sure that I came with it. I was just, you know, head down working the whole time. And once I listened to Believers start to finish, I was definitely confident that it didn't take away having worked on both projects the whole time. But there's still a great mixture on Believers as well of different vibes and just as much hype stuff as there is like some soul searchers on there as well.
Awesome. Well, we all appreciate the hard work all you guys put in on the label. I mean, your fans are always going to be there, man. Just keep it up.
Appreciate that, brother. Much love to you, bro.
You too. Peace.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. Let's get to Jesus from California. You're on the line with Rhett. Well, I mean, yeah, Jesus.
Oh, hello? Oh, sorry. I was busy something. Oh, my bad. Recognize, just want to say that The War Within is such an amazing album. And I just have one question, like, what inspired you to, like, write this album?
I just have to say it's probably been, like, the 10-year lead-up to getting to the place where I'm at in my career, where it just felt like there was a lot of inner demons that I wanted to fight and express on record and touch a lot of different vibes, whereas, like, there's a real, you know, conflict inside of which direction to go, and that's why, you know, there's so many different vibes and styles on the album, because it's just had a very strong inner conflict going on for the last few years to release a project. And I feel, and then also on top of that, just the whole like psychotherapy, like being put under and hypnotized. I'm fascinated by like hypnotherapy and lucid dreaming, like that world is very interesting to me. So that was the way that I felt like I could tie it all together for the album.
All right. Cool, man. Thanks for answering the question. Much love.
Glad you enjoyed the album, brother.
All right. Much love, man. Later.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get to Jace from New York. You're on the line with Recognize.
Hey, Rec.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
If Tech and Trap came up to you and said you can sign anyone to Strange Music, who would it be?
That's a great question. Wow, that's kind of a stumper. I guess I would probably at this point go for like a female vocalist that's out there. I feel like Strange is, I know people have been talking about it for a while, but I feel like Strange is due for a super dope like female, whether it be MC
like,
or just vocalist.
Product. Like he's been doing
like,
a lot.
Yeah, kind of
Strange
product. Or there's the Liz Swandy. Obviously, has been working with Strange forever, and she's super dope. I would love to hear a full project from her. And I know Tech's been talking to like a female MC named Angel Davenport that I've been keeping her stuff, and her stuff's super dope. So I think it'd just be dope to add to the variety of the label and find a really dope female artist. And on top of the fact that the game has, it's very tough to get latch onto a female artist that you like in hip hop anyways, or that delivers consistently. So I feel like Strange would be the label to make that happen.
Yeah, it really would.
So here's the hope, hopefully in the next year or two.
All right. Thank you, Jace, for the call. That was a great question. Let's get to Xavier from Chicago.
What up, Rick?
What's up, Xavier?
Shit, man. I've been following your stuff for a minute, man. A big fan. I watched you kill it with Mayday at the Gathering. That was the first time seeing you, man. You guys fucking tore that shit down.
Appreciate it, bro. We had a blast out there, man. Such a great event, man. I loved it. We had a great time out there.
Hell yeah. I guess first, before I even get into my main question, will you guys be there again this year? Can you even say?
I don't know yet, but I'm hoping. We said, like, we were literally driving out of there last year, like, dude, we got to come back. Like, you know, I would love to play there again. So we're hoping we're going to be rocking there this year, but I'm not 100% sure yet. Still waiting on the confirmation if we're going to be able to go or not.
Hell yeah, man. We would love it. Juggalos would love to have you back. Even fucking a solo set, I'll go nuts, man.
Yeah, nah, we're trying to get out there one way or the other, so we'll definitely try and make that happen.
Hell yeah, but specifically, I got to laugh, man, about that that reference on Floating Away about Cheech Marin and the stripper on his lap, man. I remember that bitch. She had me cracking up. Nobody expected her to be able to, like, speak Italian and shit. And I just got to say, man, when you show us love like that, man, it just, like, it gets me, man. I love that shit. This one, when you did it in on the Rooftops mixtape too, man, it's all love.
Yeah. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I try to keep the references in there for the people that like to dig and you know, find out what was happening in a certain aspect or topic. And I feel like there's a lot of people out there that really enjoy picking up on them. So I'm glad you enjoyed it, brother.
That's what's up, man. Whoop whoop! I can't wait to hear more.
Whoop whoop! Hell yeah, brother. Hopefully, I'll see you at the Gathering, brother.
That's what's up. Peace out.
All right. Thank you, Xavier. And let's get to one more before we move on for a minute. We got Victoria from Orlando.
Hi.
What's up, Victoria? Is this Victoria Rising?
Yes, it is.
What up, girl? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm chilling.
I just want to tell you that The War Within is, like, the best album I think I've ever heard in my life. Like, it has been playing on repeat. Yeah. It's been on repeat for the past 3 days.
That's beautiful. I'm honored. Thank you, girl. Appreciate that.
No, thank you. Because, like, you are my favorite rapper over everybody. Like, I have not heard, and I tell everybody, like, I show you to everybody, and they're blown away every time I show them. But, like, it doesn't get any better.
Well, that's dope. Thank you for spreading the word. And I'm sorry that our Florida shows on this run don't look like they're going down. So we'll be trying to make something happen at least before the end of the year, like Mayday-wise at least in Florida, because, you know, we got to do something right for hometown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hope so. I'm super bummed.
Yeah, it's all good. We'll remedy that problem real quick.
All right, sounds good.
All right.
Much love, girl. Appreciate you.
All right, yeah, thank you very much for calling, Victoria. Fans call 347-994-3066. We might have time to take one more round of questions. Right now we want to talk about this tour. You guys are on Summer of Strange tour. And that's with Stevie Stone and Chris Calico. Now, this is the first national tour that Strange has done, to my knowledge at least, that does not have Tech N9ne on the bill. How has that been going?
It's been going great, man. It's definitely like, you know, Strange just did a tour too, so a lot of people have, you know, had kind of just caught Tech and Chris. So you know, they either found out a little late that we were coming through solo, or they're just like, I just caught a show. So there's been like, you know, there's moments when you feel like everyone's just like, oh, we're at the show, we'll catch the next one or whatever. But so far, man, the energy of all these shows have been really, really dope, and it's been cool to see like Mayday hasn't been out in a year, so for us to come out and see like the progress we've made through the music of who's messing with us for real out here and where we have stronger followings in certain places has been like it's been fun, man. It's like a nice little market research project. But we've been having a blast out here, man. It's like a really good group of people that are out here. Stevie and his whole team are really good guys, and Callie is the man. So it's just like we've got a really good group of people out here. So the energy is very positive.
Well, and you're talking about the fans and, you know, and wanting the market research thing. What does Tech's absence say to you about the fans that are showing up to this show and giving you love?
It just goes to show you, man, how down some people are, and they know that, you know, there's a certain experience they come to expect from us on the road and our show that even though the absence of, like, the flagship artist on Strange is existing in this tour, that they'll still come out and party with us and really come out to enjoy the rest of the show. So it's dope. It's a good feeling.
That's awesome. And how has the fan response been after the shows, after they see your sets? I mean, how has the fan response been to the shows on this tour?
It's been great, man. Everybody's had a really good time. I've heard some, like, I've seen a lot of people. That's what's crazy, too, is that, like, this is the first tour without Tech, and I've seen people out here that are like, oh, it's my first Strange music show. I'm like, you're kidding. Like, this is your first Strange music show? All right, cool. Good way to intro it. You know, it can only go up from here. So it's been tough to see that there's been people coming out that have never been to a Strange music show, and they're coming out to Summer of Strange for their first one. And then there's been people that have come out and said it's one of the best Strange music shows they've been to, and just they love the energy and the way that the sets flow together. And I think the diversity of the sets between us, Stevie, and Callie is something that is unique to any Strange show as well. So that's what gives it the new life, you know. It's not a Tech tour, but it has a diversity and a uniqueness that it's something that I feel like people would want to see. And the response after the shows has always been in that direction. So I feel like we're doing something right.
I see some of the pictures you guys put up from meet and greets and just from wherever with of Mayday tattoos, you know. Now, is that something that you experienced when you guys were local, or did that kind of come with the exposure you got from the label?
Nah, we had a couple locally, but it really like exploded once we got onto Strange and then dropped the album as well, and people starting to really feel what our messages are and what we say, and feel that, you know, they want to brand that on them in some way, shape, or form. And the tattoos have like only gotten better and better. Like some of the logos that we've seen done on this tour have been like the best I've seen so far. Like really, really dope ink and dope work. And it's dope, man. It's an honor to be a part of something that somebody brands onto them like that and feels so important about that they want to market, you know, which I think is dope, man. It's like it's a feeling that's like nothing else when it comes to like music and reception. Like seeing somebody get a tat of your brand or logo on them is like another kind of dedication that is just like unmatched.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, you basically answered my next question. I mean, it's got to, I don't know, got to be slightly humbling and just all sorts of things when you see that this person's going to have that thing on them for life, you know, from
100%.
Music.
100%.
Yeah,
It makes me feel like, hey, let me just make sure I can do whatever I can in my career now to not let you down. You know what I mean? Like, you're on board with us. It's like, let me not fuck this up, you know? Like, let me keep it moving, and I'm going to keep making you proud. You know, I don't want you having to go check the laser specialist to figure out how to turn that into a unicorn or whatever the fuck. You know,
right, like, right, right, right.
Like, so that's my thing. It makes me feel challenged to be like, let me never disappoint you, ever.
Let me never come out with Chinese Democracy, you know, and make you regret that Guns N' Roses tattoo.
Yeah.
That's mean. I love Axl, and I saw the show. It was awesome. But anyways, we joke.
I'm friends with a supreme Guns N' Roses fan, so I'm not going to comment.
Yeah. No, I am too. Let's see. And Now tell me about these sets that you guys have, man, because you know, you're talking about diversity, but it does seem that the underlying thing between all this, and I guess you could say, you know, every act on Strange Music, but, I mean, with these especially, like, all three of you guys, Chris Calico, Stevie Stone, and Mayday, all bring a whole lot of adrenaline when you want to turn it up on this set. I can imagine that it's quite the experience from front to back.
Yeah, it's definitely like, you know, 0 to 60 in a matter of, like, you know, in a split second kind of feeling where all the sets have a certain intensity, but they go in different directions and they have different lineups, and but they all seem to, like, really flow well together. And then we mix it up every night because, you know, Stevie's the homie, so nobody was trying to, like, top bill each other, so we just switch every night. So some nights Mayday will come out and open it up, and then the next night Stevie will open it up. So we get to, like, you know, vary it up a little bit in terms of how the sets blend into each other. But it seems to work equally as well both ways. And it's just like nonstop from the minute that we open it up to the minute that Cali finishes. It's just like it's a total turn up, man. Nice intense party.
No, definitely. What's it like? You know, what? Tell me about Stevie's set and Chris's set, because I imagine that you've seen them more than a few times by now. What can fans expect?
No. Well, Stevie's doing some of my favorites already, like from his older projects. Like, you know, he does My Remedy, which is like one of my favorite tracks. So his set is just, it's high octane and it has a certain kind of like fun aggression to it that I always love. It kind of like makes me want to playfully drop kick somebody next to me, but like with a smile on my face though. And he does two or three tracks from the new album, and the new album, because I've been helping Stevie just finish his album on the road, like sequencing and just doing some like technical stuff for him. And his new album is going to be ridiculous. So he's doing some new tracks on his set as well, which is cool because people are getting to get a little preview of his album. And then Cali, like when we first toured with Strange, we jumped on Sixes and Sevens, and Cali was originally doing his own set. Then he was taking like a 10-minute break, and then he was jumping back on with Tech for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. Like he was literally on stage for like 3 hours straight. And I came in and was just introduced to seeing him doing a solo set. So then when we went on Hostel and he wasn't doing the solo set, I kind of missed it a little bit because there was a certain kind of distinct energy to his solo material and his solo set that I wasn't, like, fully getting when he's up with Ted. You know, like, there's not enough time for that. So I'm happy to see him doing his own set again because I get to hear songs that maybe I didn't hear before on Hostel. And then he's got some of his new material in the set as well. And the new songs for his album are also fire. So I got nothing negative to say. Like, it's nothing but positive on both their sets. And they flow really well. And it's a good combination of old material and new material. And it works really well.
Well, and how about Mayday's set? Do we expect any new material from that?
Yeah, we're doing, I was going to try and do, like, last minute, me and Byrne were like, oh, maybe I should do, like, an opener, like, solo set, but it was a little too late in the game, and, you know, there had been local openers already booked and stuff like that, so I didn't really want to, like, knock anybody off the stage or, like, you know, mess with the schedule, so I ended up just working in some solo songs into this Mayday set. So we've got a track from Believers on there, we've got a couple of joints from my solo, and then we've got a bunch of Take Me to Your Leader, and then we go back for like a track or two. So it's a good mixture of like past, present, and future.
Nice, man, nice. Well, you know what, Rick? We are running out of time, man, and I just want to give you the opportunity before we wrap this up. What do you want to say to all the fans out there?
I just want to say I appreciate the response, and really, like, if you've copped the album, that means the world to me. And if you're in a position where you're not able to cop the album, just listen to it, see if you vibe with it, and if you really appreciate the music, then you could just do me a favor and share the link or shoot one of the iTunes or Best Buy links over to some friends and put them on, because that's really, you know, where I'm trying to grasp that now, is to spread the music as much as possible by any means necessary. So I appreciate all the support and everybody that's coming out to the shows and talking with us. It means the world to us, man. We're super appreciative of it, and I'm making sure to not take any of it for granted at this point. It's just, I've been in the game so long that to finally get some attention in a solo album like platform is just basically like a lifelong dream for me. So I'm appreciative of it.
Rec, man, it was a pleasure, dude. Congratulations on the album. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll probably be talking to you very soon about the Mayday album.
My brother. Sounds good. I look forward to it.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. That was Recognized, whose album The War Within is on iTunes and at Best Buy for only $9.99. So make sure you go out there and get that. Believers is also up for pre-order. That drops in late July. You can pre-order that at strangemusicinc.net. And the Summer of Strange tour is still going on strong. You can check dates for that and get your VIP packages and tickets at strangevip.com. So that is all we have for today. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen,
shut up,
as always, keep it strange.